This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
10 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning. Time now for the Morning Ag Show. And for that, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, corn for March was down 2.25 cents to 352.5. May corn was down 2.25 to 362, and July corn lost 2 pennies, down to 371.5. Soybeans for March were down 6 cents, down to 877.75. May beans were at 890, down 5.75 cents. And July beans were also down 5.75 cents to 904. Chicago wheat for March was down 10.5 cents to 422.25. May wheat was down 11 cents to 428.5. And July wheat was at 437, down 10.5 cents. Soybean meal for March was down $2.40 to $296.70 per ton. May bean meal was down $2.40 as well to $301.30 per ton. And July bean meal was down $2.30 to $305.30 per ton. Soybean oil for March was up 1 cent to $29.40. May bean oil was down 1 cent to $29.64. And July bean oil was up a penny to $29.97. At this time, we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Monday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Monday afternoon. Even a 926,000-ton sale of soybeans to China for the 18-19 crop year can't lift soybeans out of the bearish mood. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 3 cents at 311 to 337. Soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents lower at 808 to 843. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 cents at 324 to 343. Soybean bids were 5 to 6 cents lower at 820 to 850. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 2 cents at 319 to 352. Soybean bids were 4 to 6 cents lower at 832 to 865. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 6 to 8 cents lower at 852 to 860. Basis was steady to down 3 at 38 under to 30 under the May. High pro soybean meal on the truck basis offered at 277.30 to 291.30 a ton, down $2.40 a ton with basis unchanged at 24 under to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at 337 to 356, with basis steady at 25 under to 6 under the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted and produced corn bids mostly steady at 338 to 345, with basis up 2 at 24 under to 17 under the May. Soybeans ended down 6 cents at 845 to 851, with basis steady at 45 under to 39 under the May. New crop wheat prices were down 11 cents at 407 to 427, with basis unchanged at 30 under to 11 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal areas placed their producer corn bids steady to 2 cents lower at 362 to 365. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 5 cents, quotations at 878 to 879. Soft wheat closed down 11 cents at 455 to 458. Milo ended the day 2 to 5 cents lower at $4 to 407. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 334 to 357, soybeans at 843 to 871. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 342 to 358, soybeans at 861 to 889. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 329 to 362, soybeans at 859 to 890, and June, July wheat at 408 to 435. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for April were down 67 cents to $129 a head. June live cattle were down 70 cents to 120.25, and August live cattle were down 52 cents to 116.65. Feeder cattle for March were down $1.62 to 142.30. April feeders were down $1.72 to 145.97, and May feeders lost $1.12 down to 147.40. Lean hogs for April gained $2.30 up to $62.85. May lean hogs were up $2.10 to $71.02. And June lean hogs were up $1.77 to $79.95. And now we'll turn it over to the Illinois and U.S. Departments of Agriculture for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are weak with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 30 to 38, 4 to 500 pounds at 35 to 41, 5 to 600 pounds at 38 to 45, over 600 pounds at 42 to 50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gelts at country buying points were firm, with light demand for moderate offerings ranging from 26 to 31. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, heifers on a live basis traded at $129. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 259.64 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $66.42, which was $1.38 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $227.36, which was $1.23 higher, with select carcasses at $219.63, which was 85 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 116,000 for last week and 114,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 475,000 compared to 465,000 for last week and 459,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CHS Service Center, farmer-owned with global connections, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carletville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. The 2018 Farm Bill is on the books, and the bipartisan effort is now in the implementation stage. However, a federal government shutdown of record proportions has delayed progress. That leaves agencies like the USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service having to try to answer questions from producers about the programs and potential funding opportunities. Ivan Dozier is the Illinois State Conservationist with the NRCS, who believes those answers are coming soon. According to Dozier, the 2018 Farm Bill and its programs will be familiar to farmers, but there will be some changes.
We still have all of those familiar programs that we had before. We still have EQIP, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. We still have the Conservation Stewardship Program, CSP. We still have our easement programs. We still have the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. But there are going to be adjustments to every one of those programs. Congress spoke loud and clear. They like the programs. They put adequate funding in for those programs, but they said they want them to be more accessible and easier to use.
Dozier says those potential changes are being considered within the USDA right now, but he expects them to soon be made available for public comment.
Sometimes the application process, that's what we hear a lot, that it's onerous, too much paperwork. And so what are some things that we can do to streamline that? Sometimes we have too many options, and they become confusing. So what can we do to focus a little bit more on what our resource needs are? We mentioned RCPP. We're working on the rules for it, exactly how it's going to work right now. But to have RCPP be a standalone program. So that's an example of even greater flexibility so local people can tailor these federal funds to their local needs.
In the meantime, Dozier encourages producers to continue to seek conservation assistance through local offices.
In fact, the announcements just went out this week, so we're going to have a shortened time frame this year because the Farm Bill was late, but we'll be running off of the previous year's rules, so won't see a lot of changes this year. Next fall, in our new fiscal year, is when we'll see things really kick in and make those adjustments.
Dozier was in attendance at a regional meeting of the Precision Conservation Management Program in Decatur. He touts the program, which examines the economic and environmental impact conservation has on a farming operation.
Precision Conservation Management, this particular project is an outgrowth of a regional conservation partnership program. It started out so well that they expanded into some other areas. This is one of those other areas. To me, it's a perfect example of how we can leverage some of those federal funds and use these local partnerships.
To learn more about conservation opportunities available through the NRCS, contact your local office or visit nrcs.usda.gov. There is never any downtime for Bob Aaron and his role as Agricultural Safety Specialist for the University of Illinois. There is always something to worry about, especially when moving farm machinery or equipment on public roads. He says an escort vehicle should always be utilized.
But the critical one is to have one in the front, because your oncoming traffic may not realize or think that part of your implement is out in their roadway, and they can cause a collision. And farmers have the point to make here is that farmers have the legal right to operate their equipment on public roadways except interstate highways. But there's a clause in the laws, and almost all state laws, says they have the duty to warn. And so obviously if somebody crashes into you, you're going to have a hard time defending that you adequately warned them. And what we know is that from research is that people need about 1,000 feet to be able to recognize your slow-moving vehicle and slow down to prevent a collision, to give them adequate time. Sure, some people could slow down quicker than that if you're even 400 feet or so, but our research shows they actually need about 1,000 feet, because some people aren't paying attention. It takes them a few seconds to recognize that, oh, I'm coming up really fast on this piece of equipment. So if you're going down a road that has a hill or a curve where there's going to be less than 1,000 feet of visibility from the front or rear of the equipment, the only way I know to warn oncoming traffic is with an escort vehicle.
Even though it's not required, Aaron says it's also good practice to have an escort vehicle in the back when traveling on public roadways. In other news, Annie's project kicked off to a colorful start on Tuesday, February 19th, at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. The evening began with a presentation by Andrew Holsinger, University of Illinois Extension horticulture educator. Holsinger's presentation emphasized the history and importance of Annie's project. Valerie Blusko, University of Illinois Extension Community and Economic Development Program Coordinator, facilitated the Real Colors Personality Assessment. The Real Colors Personality Instrument is presented in a fast, fun, interactive format where participants learn how to quickly identify their own temperament or color and that of others. Using this knowledge, they can develop more effective communication skills and build better relationships in and out of the workplace. Participants undertook a personality assessment where they discovered their distinct temperament spectrum represented as four colors: blue, gold, orange, and green. In the Real Colors Fundamental Workshop, participants learned to identify their own as well as other people's personal strengths and to understand the different ways people process information. Participants also learned to communicate in the most effective way possible, including hearing what others are really saying and to recognize and appreciate the strengths and viewpoints of others. On Tuesday, February 26th, participants in Annie's project learned about business planning and financials. The evening began with Brian Louie, farm loan manager from the USDA Farm Service Agency, who spoke about understanding financial statements such as balance sheets and income statements. This program is a six-part course offered by the University of Illinois Extension in partnership with Annie's Project. The program strives to empower women in agriculture by holding discussion-based workshops that bring women together to learn from experts in production, financial management, human resources, marketing, and the legal field. Annie's Project would not be possible without their local sponsors: the Bank of Hillsboro, the First Community Bank of Hillsboro, First National Bank of Nokomis, the First National Bank of Raymond, Litchfield Farmers Grain, Litchfield National Bank, and the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. In FFA news, 2 Hillsboro and 14 Nokomis FFA members competed in 17 different areas at District 4 proficiencies. The event was held at Sullivan High School on Thursday evening, March 7th. Students were interviewed by a panel of judges about their record books and 5 students will be advancing to state, and 8 were runner-up in their specific areas. One student will be advancing to state for Hillsboro, and that is Grace Anderson with her book, In Specialty Crop Production. Hillsboro also had one runner-up, and that will be Erin Kistner with her book, In Ag Communications. Students advancing to state for Nokomis will be Cody Nodal in beef production, Kendall Nodal in grain production entrepreneurship, Mackenzie Adams in nursery operations, and Kristen Masher in STAR Discovery Agriscience. Students who were runner-up for Nokomis were Cody Nodal, candidate for STAR Farmer, Zach Schmitz in dairy placement, Bella Daly in environmental sciences and natural resource management, Keith Carlock in home and community development, Ty Nodal in fiber oil crop placement, and Nick Masher in turf grass management. And in local events going on in the area, HSHS, St. Francis Hospital, and the Agriculture Committee are inviting everyone to attend a farm family event on Wednesday, March 20th, at Lincolnland Community College in Litchfield. The event will begin at 7 a.m. with complimentary health screenings and breakfast to follow at 7:45. Following breakfast, David Pritchard of Kerber Eckenbreckel will address estate planning for farmers, and Dr. Matt Roberts with the Kernmantle Group will offer a review of current trade negotiations, the Farm Bill, grain and livestock supply and demand, and what it all means as farmers make decisions. Pre-registration is required for this event, and you can do so by calling Megan Bertolino at 324-8206 by this Wednesday, tomorrow, March the 13th. The event is free of charge, and breakfast is provided by the Litchfield Family Practice Center. And finally, the U of I Extension Master Gardeners of Montgomery County will be hosting their second annual All Gardeners Day program Saturday, March 16th. The event will be held at the Holy Family Catholic Church Parish Center in Litchfield. Registration begins at 8 a.m., and the event will run from 8:30 until noon. The cost for the day is $15, which will include 2 classes and the keynote speaker. Please pre-register by this Friday, March 15th, by going to their website, go.illinois.edu/CJMM, or by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. For this Tuesday morning, March the 12th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.